The scripture reading this morning is found in two passages from the Gospel according to Luke. The first passage is Luke 5, verses 27 through 32. Luke 5, verses 27 through 32. And the second passage is Luke 19, verses 1 through 10. Luke 19, verses 1 through 10. The text this afternoon, or this morning, is Luke 5, verses 27 through 32. We will not be rereading this section. Luke 5, beginning at verse 27. This is after Jesus healed a lame man and forgave him his sins. And after these things, he went forth and saw a publican named Levi sitting at the receipt of custom. And he said unto him, Follow me. And he left all, rose up and followed him. And Levi made him a great feast in his own house. And there was a great company of publicans and of others that sat down with them. But their scribes and Pharisees murmured against his disciples, saying, Why do ye eat and drink with publicans and sinners? And Jesus answering said unto them, They that are whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. And then we turn to Luke 19. Verses 1 through 10. And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press, because he was little of stature. And he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying, that he was gone to be guest with a man that is a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. And Jesus said unto him, This day is salvation come to this house, for as much as he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. So far the reading of God's holy, infallible word. Congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, of the two passages which we just read this morning, the first passage comes at the very beginning of Jesus' ministry, and the second passage comes at the very end of Jesus' ministry. In the first passage, in Luke chapter 5, Jesus is still calling his disciples unto himself to be his apostles. Now, at the very beginning of Jesus' earthly ministry, in Luke chapter 5, what do we see Jesus doing? Whom does Jesus call to be an apostle and to spend the next 3.5 years walking with Jesus? He says to Levi, a publican, a tax collector, who is Matthew. He says to him, follow me. That is, Matthew, I want you to be with me, to be my disciple and to walk with me. And then very soon we see Matthew preparing a great feast. A great feast in which Jesus sits at a table and dines with a whole table full of publicans and their friends. That's what we see Jesus doing at the very beginning of his earthly ministry. In the second passage, in Luke chapter 19, Jesus is at the very end of his earthly ministry. Jesus is in Jericho. He's on his way to Jerusalem. And it's only about around 2 weeks before Jesus is going to lay down his life on the cross of Calvary. And as he passes through Jericho, the crowd that is around him is massive. The press, the crowd is massive, first of all, because Jesus is so popular at this time, performing all kinds of miracles. And secondly, the crowd is so massive because everyone is passing through Jericho with Jesus on their way to Jerusalem in order to keep the feast of the Passover, the feast that Jesus was going to fulfill with his own death on the cross. But now here, as Jesus walks through the city of Jericho at the end of his earthly ministry, with all these people around him, with whom does Jesus choose to dine and fellowship? Jesus says to that short man, Zacchaeus, as he's up there in the sycamore tree, "Zacchaeus, come down, make haste, for today I must abide at thy house." In these two passages, one at the beginning of Jesus' earthly ministry and one at the end, we get a good impression of the kind of men and women Jesus delighted to dine with. Jesus delighted to dine with sinners. In fact, early on in his earthly ministry, we see that Jesus is given the title by the masses, the friend of publicans and sinners. He delighted to dine with sinners. But more particularly, Jesus delighted to dine not with just any sinners, but with sorry sinners. Sinners who knew themselves to be sinners, who were humble, and who confessed their need for a Savior, their need for Christ, and for His blood on the cross for them. Well, that's a comforting thought for us, beloved. For then we see that Jesus also delights to dine with us. For as we have examined ourselves this past week, this is what we have seen, isn't it? We are sinners. Grievous sinners. So sinful we are in this past week that we came to church this morning with a pile of fresh new sins that we've committed in this week. And we are sinners who know ourselves to be sinners. We are sorry sinners, humble sinners who know our need for Jesus Christ and for His blood to blot out our sins. And what kind of a Savior is Jesus? He's not only a perfect and complete Savior who is able to redeem us from our sins, but He's a compassionate Savior, merciful and compassionate. So much so, He delights to dine in fellowship with us. So much so that not only does He delight to dine in fellowship with us, but He Himself has prepared the table. He Himself has set the chairs. He Himself has prepared the meal, calling us to dine with Him at His table, His supper, the Lord's Supper. And that's the joy and privilege we have this morning. Jesus calls us and says, "Come and dine with me, sinners, sorry sinners that you are, for I am the friend of publicans and sinners." We take as our theme this morning, with a view to the Lord's Supper, Jesus dining with sinners. And we look at that theme under 3 points: the wonder, the reason, and the possibility. The wonder that's before us in the text is this. Here on the one hand we have publicans, hated and despised publicans, who had a very bad reputation and who were, in many ways, sinners. And on the other hand we have Jesus Christ, the Son of God, sinless and holy, spotless. And we see Jesus and sinners sitting down together at one table to partake of one meal. Well, who were these sinners, first of all, these publicans, as they are called? A publican, first of all, was a man who worked for the Roman Empire. He worked for the Roman government. And that fact alone made these publicans hated and despised in the sight of many of the Jews. because the Jews hated Rome. Many of them did. They hated the kind of authority and dominion that Rome had over Judah and over Jerusalem, and they longed to cast off Rome's power. A publican, secondly, was a tax collector. Although publicans could have other jobs, the ones that we read of in the New Testament seem all to be publicans, tax collectors. Matthew, we know, was a tax collector who sat at the receipt of custom. But here are these men, tax collectors no less, working for the Roman government, collecting the money of the people to give to Rome. You can understand, in one way, perhaps, how they were hated by the people. And third, these publicans were often very corrupt, because the way that the tax collection was done gave them a lot of opportunity to be corrupt. The trade routes in Jesus' day throughout Judah were kind of like toll roads. If a businessman wanted to transport his cargo or his merchandise along a particular road, he would first have to pay a tax collector at the toll booth, you might say, in order to take his wares along that road. But these places where these receipts of custom were, where the toll was paid, these places were auctioned off by the Roman government. The Roman government said, "We will give this toll booth, as it were, to the highest bidder. Whoever promises to give the most money, we'll let them tax at that station." And the highest bidder then would have the obligation to pay Rome what Rome expected in taxes from that toll booth. But everything over and above what was promised to Rome, the tax collector could put in their own pockets. And the result was that at these receipts of custom, these toll stations, the publicans would often charge much more than what was reasonable and fair. And they pocketed their profit. The publican said to travelers on the road, "You want to use this road? Well, then you will pay the price that I charge, or you can find another road." The publicans, therefore, were often very rich men. Rich, often because of their very high and unreasonable prices, taking advantage of the people. Zacchaeus, we read, was a man who was a rich man. This is not to say that all publicans were corrupt thieves who were constantly cheating the people. Some were honest and were simply asking the people for a fair and reasonable price. And there was nothing inherently sinful in being a publican and carrying out this work for the government. But because of the widespread corruption, because of their bad reputation, because of the unfair prices, because these men were gathering money for Rome, they were hated. They were traitors and thieves, the people would say. They have nothing good in them at all. How could they dare work in that occupation? They were placed in the same class even as the harlots of the city. They were not to be associated with, and certainly not to dine with. That would be a scandal. This is why we see publicans either alone, like Zacchaeus, who seems to be all alone there in Jericho, or we see publicans who have as their friends other publicans. Matthew, Levi, a publican, who had a table full of publicans that were his friends. If you were the proud and haughty and the self-righteous among the Jews, you would not choose to fellowship with these despised people. They were sinners. So what we have is these publicans on the one hand, hated and despised, with a thoroughly bad reputation, and were sinners. And on the other hand, we have Jesus Christ. Jesus, the sinless one, the holy one. Jesus, God Himself in the flesh. Jesus, the Word, who became flesh, who's full of grace and truth. Here we have Jesus, the light of the world. Jesus, the resurrection and the life. Jesus, the hope of all His people, the King of creation, the desire of all nations. And what we have is these two coming together and sitting at a table. The sinless one, full of glory and grace and truth, hated and despised sinners of the land. Holy One, sitting with the off-scouring, the filth of the people. Here, the King of Glory, dining, that is, fellowshipping and enjoying communion and friendship with those who are known as cheaters and swindlers, traitors and liars. Well, what do we think of it? Is it a scandal? Is it a shame? Just imagine if you were living in Jesus' day and you saw this taking place. You were an honest, working Jew in Jerusalem. Perhaps maybe a poor Jew, working an honest day's wages, living honestly. And here you see walking down the street a tax collector, working for the Roman government that's oppressing your people. And the tax collector is coming in all his riches. You can understand the kind of attitude the people would have been tempted to have. Would it have been a shame, a scandal, for Jesus to sit with these men? Well, that's what the Pharisees thought. Listen to what the Pharisees say in the parallel passage in Matthew 9, verse 11. And when the Pharisees saw it, Jesus dining with the publicans, they said unto his disciples, "Why eateth your master with publicans and sinners?" In Luke 19, verse 7, we read that the crowds in Jericho responded the same way. And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying, "He was gone to be with a guest, to be guest with a man that is a sinner." It was a shame, especially to those Pharisees. "What is this man Jesus thinking?" they say. "Does he have no self-respect? Does he have no concern for his reputation? How shameful and disgraceful his acts! Oh, I could not dare to fellowship with so great a sinner. I am so righteous that even when I pass by those publicans on the street, I must make sure to keep my distance from them so that I'm not seen as associating with them." But this Jesus, he sits and he dines with them. Well, it must be because he's no different than them. Just as wicked, just as unclean. Again, they say, "We have proof that Jesus is a sinner, for he dines so freely and easily with sinners." What is our reaction? What do we say when we see this? Oh, we must say, it's a beautiful sight to behold, isn't it? My Savior dining with sinners. Because then I know my Savior is also glad to sit and dine with me. You must understand, congregation, if we are to have the Lord's Supper this morning, this is what's going to take place. Jesus is going to sit down with sinners. For in our self-examination, seeing our sins this past week, having those publicans in mind, we must cry out, "I am the publican. I am the sinner." Oh, they might have robbed other people of money, but I am guilty of much, much worse. Because I am so often guilty of having the attitude of the Pharisees and carry a self-righteous attitude judging others. But we see Jesus delights to dine with sorry sinners. Well, how do we explain this? What is the reason that Jesus is choosing to dine here with sinners? Well, this is the reason. This is why Jesus has come. This is what he says in Luke 5, verses 31 and 32, and Luke 19, verse 10. Luke 5, verses 31 and 32. "And Jesus answering said unto them, They that are whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." In Luke 19, verse 7. In Luke 19, verse 10, Jesus says, "For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost." Jesus dines with sinners because that's why he's come, to dine with sinners. Those publicans were sick. They were sick sinners who knew they were sick. And Jesus came to heal them, for he is the great physician. Those publicans were sinners They were dead sinners who knew they had nothing good of themselves at all. And Jesus came to call them to repentance. For Jesus is the great prophet. Those publicans were lost. They were as sheep going astray. And they knew they were lost. And Jesus came to seek and to save them. Jesus is the great shepherd who seeks and saves that which was lost. The great shepherd who lays down his life for the sheep. Those publicans were sinners. Yes, they were. They were grievous sinners. They had in many ways been corrupt. You can be certain the publicans in many ways had the reputation they had for a reason. But these publicans were not just sinners. They were sorry sinners who knew themselves to be sinners, to be sick, and to be lost. And who looked to Jesus Christ as their Savior, as their physician, and their great shepherd. And that's also part of the significance of these words that Jesus says. Jesus wasn't simply dining with any sinner who was delighting in their sin. Jesus isn't an example for us in that way, as if we should tolerate sinners and allow and sit down with sinners who are continuing in sin. But Jesus here understands he's sitting and dining with sinners who are sick, who are lost, and are looking to him as their physician and his shepherd and their shepherd. Those publicans were sinners, but those Pharisees, they were not. Oh no, those Pharisees were anything but sinners. In Israel, among the Jews, those Pharisees, they were the cream of the crop. They were the dignified leaders in Israel. They were the teachers. They were the ones who could speak so smoothly about the Scriptures. They knew the Old Testament law better than most. But were they sinners? Oh no. They were not sick. They were not lost. They were righteous, self-righteous. They fasted twice in the week. They gave tithes of all that they possessed. And they would not dare to dine with such sinners as these publicans, hated and despised, who had such a bad reputation. They were not sinners. They were not sick. They were not lost. They were Pharisees. And it was a scandal that the honor of dining with this popular man, Jesus, should go to such sinners as the publicans, even as Zacchaeus. Oh, but those publicans knew they were sinners. Just listen to the confession of Zacchaeus in Luke 19, verse 8. The confession he quickly so makes when he, it appears, is converted right there when Jesus speaks to him. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, "Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold." That's what one was obligated to do when he stole from someone. Restore him fourfold. Zacchaeus here was not boasting. Zacchaeus here was resolving to do what was right. Zacchaeus here was confessing. He knew that he wasn't free from sin. He knew he was a sinner. A sick and lost sinner. He knew he had not dealt so honestly with everyone along the road. He had charged prices which were unfair at times. He was a sorry sinner who knew he needed to repent and change his ways. And through the wonder of grace, he did repent. And then we read he was also glad to dine with Jesus. He received Jesus joyfully. He was so glad, not for what he had done, of course, but because Jesus, in sovereign grace, had called Zacchaeus and said, "Zacchaeus, I choose you to dine with and sit with today at your house." Christ has come to seek and to save that which was lost, come to heal the sick, come to call sinners to repentance, to turn from their sins and walk in holiness. Oh, can we say it? Do we have the grace within us, the Spirit within us dwelling to say it? That he therefore must also have come for me? Are we able to say it? I was the lost. I was the sick. I was the one living the life of sin who needed to be called to repentance. Left to myself, that's who I am. And left to myself, that's who I will become again. Oh, in this past week, we have not denied it, have we? But we have confessed it, rather. We'll then be comforted with this. This is exactly why Christ came. To save sorry sinners. To save sorry publicans. To save even such a wretch as me. He came to save sorry sinners exactly so that He might dine with sorry sinners, to make them joyful and glad, to make you joyful, beloved, to make me joyful and glad. Well, how is that possible? How is that possible that Christ, the Son of God, holy and sinless, without spot, could actually sit and dine with sinners? To find the answer, let us turn to Matthew 9, verse 13. In Matthew 9, verse 13, we have that parallel passage of this event in Luke chapter 5. But in Matthew 9, verse 13, we learn that there's more that Jesus says to those publicans than what's recorded in Luke chapter 5. Let's begin reading at Matthew 9, verse 9, to see how this is the parallel passage. Matthew 9, verse 9. And as Jesus passed forth from thence, He saw a man named Matthew sitting at the receipt of custom. And He saith unto him, Follow me. And he arose and followed him. And it came to pass, as Jesus sat at meat in the house, behold, many publicans and sinners came and sat down with Him and His disciples. And when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto His disciples, Why eateth your Master with publicans and sinners? But when Jesus heard that, He said unto them, They that behold need not a physician, but they that are sick. And then notice these words that Jesus says, But go ye and learn what that meaneth. I will have mercy and not sacrifice. Powerful words, beloved. Powerful words from Hosea 6, verse 6. Powerful words from the Pharisees' own scriptures. Jesus was telling the Pharisees, God doesn't want your self-righteousness. God doesn't want your empty works. He doesn't want your empty sacrifices. God wants mercy. You Pharisees, Jesus was saying, you are the religious leaders of the people in the land. You know so much. You ought to be showing mercy and compassion on these publicans. Sorry sinners as they are, they need to hear the gospel of salvation. They need to hear about the Messiah. They need to hear about me. But you Pharisees rob them, for you boast of self-righteousness. In arrogant pride, you withhold the word from them. And you even refuse to be seen next to them. And your own law, your own scriptures condemns you. I will fulfill that law, Jesus says. I will have mercy. Well, that alone is how Jesus is able to sit and dine with sinners. It is His mercy. It's not because of anything in those publicans. It's not because of anything within us, beloved. It's His mercy. It's God's mercy alone upon sinners. And that mercy was shown particularly in the cross of Jesus Christ. When Jesus Christ, holy and sinless, God, came down to die for you and me, having mercy on us. And He continues to show that mercy even today by turning sinners that we are into sorry sinners, looking to Him and His sacrifice alone as our satisfaction. He shows that mercy to us even today as He calls us to His table to sit and to dine with Him, that we might be joyful and glad and know that with Christ there is mercy. Oh, beloved, perhaps in this past week, as you've looked at your sins and as you have examined yourselves, you have been the one to cry out with that publican, God, be merciful to me, the sinner. This morning, God in Jesus Christ comes to you and He says to you, I will have mercy. Not because of any sacrifice we bring, but because of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ alone. May the Lord's Supper assure us and comfort us with this comfort. Just as much as we are partakers of that bread and wine, so we are partakers of Jesus Christ through faith. And just as we participate in the Lord's Supper, so it is just as true spiritually. We are welcome at Christ's table, and we sit and dine with Him as His friends. God has washed our sins. Jesus has shown mercy to us, and He delights to call us to dine with Him. And then let me also add this word. What we have this morning is a small, small taste of what awaits us in heavenly glory. For this is what heaven will be, beloved. Sitting and dining with Jesus our Savior in heavenly glory, in perfect peace and rest. Amen.